Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Kuf Chaf Beis. We're back on Kuf Chaf Aleph, or in the Amud Aleph. And let's just get right into it. We are trying to understand things in the Mishnah. The Mishnah gave us a list of things that are Tameh, Tumas Ochlin. The hide of the animal, the juice of the animal, the spices of the animal, and the Alal. The Alal, what is that? So that is what we're in the middle of discussing. What exactly is the Alal? No, we're not in the middle of that. Yeah. Okay. Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. We started at the top of the daf. Let's just quickly run through this again. My Allah, so the Gemara wants to know, what is Allah? I'm Rav Yochanan Amar Martika. You remember Rashi? We did the Rashi yesterday. We're talking about some sort of very hard and white, thick sinews that are running up the neck of the animal. And that is what Rav Yochanan says we're talking about. Reish Lakish Amar Basar Shabbatas the second. Reish Lakish says, no, that's not true. So we're talking about when I flay the animal and there's a little bit of meat left on the hide, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Meisve, the Gemara says, challenge based on the Pasuk Aniyuv. This is just, I'm going quickly because we did this yesterday. V'ulam atem tofle sheker rofe elil kulchem. Eof says to his friends, you're a bunch of liars. And you're not only that, but you're just bad doctors as well, bad medicine. Look what you're giving me to eat. You're giving me to eat Elil, and Elil is not going to help me. So Bishlam Laman Dharma Martika Haina Dala Barifuhu. So the Gemara says, look, if the Alal, the Elil that Eov is talking about is the sinew, so then you understand. Like, it's nothing. It's not food. It's not meat. It's Eitz Ba'alma. It's just a piece of wood. And what on God's earth are you feeding me is what Eov is saying to his friends. Elaman Dharma Basar Shepatas Hasakin Barifuhu. So, but if you go with the Reish Lakish pshat, that the Alal is actually meat that is still stuck to the hide even after you flay the animal. Okay, it may be stuck to the hide, but it's still meat, so it's going to help you. It's like I said yesterday, it's chicken soup, right? Now, what could possibly be better for someone who's ill than to eat chicken soup? So the Gemara says, so why is Eov accusing his friends of bad medicine? So the Gemara says, ba'alo de krav de kol em elo pligi, ki pligi ba'alo de mas nisen. So the Gemara says, look, in Eov, we all agree. They're giving him garbage. It's not meat. It's, you know, it's tendons, it's sinews, it's not meat. But in the Mishnah, however, that's where the debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish is. Tashma, Rav Yehuda Omer, ha'alal ha'mekunas nimesh kezayis b'makom echad, chayev an lav, ha'amer avuna, v'hu shekanso. So, we have the opinion of Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah, which later this morning we'll discuss in greater detail. And Rav Yehuda says that if you have a kezayis of it, so then it's going to give off to Masochlin. So the Gemara is bothered by the simple fact. You see, we're talking about meat. We're talking about a kezayis of it. So Bishlam Laman Damer Basar Shepatas Hasakin Hainu Dechi Ika Kezayis Mechayev. So good. So now the position of Reish Lakish makes a lot of sense. We're talking about meat. And if I have a kezayis of it, I'm going to be chayev. But according to Rav Yochanan, what difference does it make how much of it you have? Elamanda mamartika ki ika kezayis mai havi eitz ba'almahu. The Gemara says, but that's just a piece of wood. It's tendon. It's not food. Again, the Gemara qualifies. Aliba de Rav Yehuda lo pligi ki pligi aliba de Rabbanan. Okay? So look, in Shitas Rav Yehuda, we're not debating. It's meat. Everyone agrees. The debate is within the shita of the Chachamim. Rav Yochanan Amar Martika Nami Mitztaref. Reish Lakish Amar Dafka Basar Shepatas Hasakin Aval Martika Lo Mitztaref. Okay, and the Gemara finally says that's the debate. It's extraordinarily limited. We're not arguing about what the Pshat in Eov is. We're not arguing about the Pshat in Rabbi Yehuda. We're simply arguing about what the Chachamim find as the definition of Alal. Is it? It's certainly, everyone agrees, it certainly could be the meat on the hide. Is it also, we're talking about also the tendons, which by itself you would never eat. But you know what I mean? If it's still stuck to the neck of the animal, you may eat a little bit of it. So the Gemara wants to further understand and further qualify. Look, when I'm cutting the hide off, basically it goes like this. I'm cutting the hide off because I'm going to give it to the tanner, right? Which means that there may be a little bit of meat stuck on it, but I'm basically saying this is a discard part of the animal, right? This is a portion of the animal which I'm getting rid of. So the Gemara says, look, if from the time that you cut it, you say, look, I know I'm cutting off the hide, but I'm really hungry, or, right, the times of the economy are really desperate, I'm going to then go back to the hide, and I'm going to cut off the meat that was still left on the hide. So at that point in time, what the Gemara said, the language of the Gemara is, you're machshiv, meaning you still had in mind to eat the meat on the hide. So there's no discussion. That's for sure considered meat. And ida lo chashiv ala betulei batlei. And if from the moment that you were flying, you were saying to yourself, this is a discard portion of the animal, so it's a discard portion of the animal, and you are ready to throw it out or give it to the tanner, either way, it's no longer meat. So Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Meisha, Charama, Miksaso, Chishav, Allah, V'charamar, Miksaso, Paltaso, Chayu, Miksaso, Paltaso, Sakin. So the Gemara gives a couple of scenarios in which we're having a debate in the Mishnah. Meaning, look, I don't understand. What's the case of the Mishnah? Either you had it in mind or you didn't have it in mind. So the Gemara says, well, one suggestion is Miksaso, Chishav, Allah, where Rashi explains like this. Look, you flayed off the hide. You want to save some of the meat, not all of the meat. So in other words, you had a machshava on some of the meat. Does the other meat also come along for the ride? Meaning in machshava, I guess the way we'll explain it is, do we round up? Okay, look, I'm going to eat some of the meat. I have no particular intent about the other ones. Are we going to round up? That's one suggestion of the Gemara. And chanamar miksasa paltaso chayom miksasa paltaso sakin. Or another way to suggest is that this animal that you shechted was attacked by another animal, bitten by another animal, or clawed by another animal, so that you already have a piece of dangling hide, right, with some meat attached to it. So there, you didn't flay that part. First of all, the idea that you're going to shech the animal now and eat it, okay. We have to assume that we're talking about a case where the animal didn't turn into a trefa. Otherwise, there's not much of a discussion to be had. But the idea is that when you flay the animal, so the hide is really the discard portion. But here, some of the hide that came off, you didn't flay. That was already flayed, so to say, by another animal. So maybe that meat is not considered batel. Okay? And what the Gemara now is suggesting is, as long as that meat's not considered batel, so then this meat as well, the part that you flayed off, is also not considered batel. Okay. Tanan hasam. We learn a Mishnah, one of the first Mishnayos in Taharos. HaChartum Vatsi Parnayim Mitamim Mitamim Mitstarfim. The Mishnah in Taharos talks about various parts of the bird that are going to be included in Tumas Ochlin. Okay? Strange parts of the bird. The beak and the talons, the claws of the bird. So look at the Mishnah carefully. Mitamim Mitamim, it imports Tuma, it exports Tuma, and it combines for the shear, which means one of two things. Either it means it's a shomer, or it means it's actual meat itself. Either way, it's strange. Meaning the idea that a beak is considered part of the meat of the animal, right? Beak is really hard. So
if the skin
later on this morning. Chartum eitz ba'alma. So the Gemara says, I don't get it. You're talking about the beak. The beak is eitz ba'alma. It's a piece of wood. It's not edible. So Amar Rav Elazar b'chartum tachtum. So the Gemara starts off by suggesting, well, maybe we're talking about the lower beak, right? Beak of the bird is two parts, upper and lower. So the Gemara says it's a lower beak. The Gemara immediately reacts, tachtonami etz ba'amahu. That doesn't help you. The lower beak is also a piece of wood. Amar Rav Papa tachton she'al yon. So the Gemara says, and here you really have to know your birds well. I'm not that guy. But assuming you know your birds well, the Gemara says, we're talking about the upper beak, but the lower portion of the upper beak, apparently there's some soft portion of that of the lower part of the upper beak. Okay? Again, don't look for me for validation, as I really don't know my birds. See Parnayim. The Mishnah also says that the claws of the bird gives off Tumas Ochlin. Now, who's eating the claws of the bird? What's going on over here? The fingernails of the bird. Amar Rabbi Elazar makom hamuvlaim bebasar. So Rav Elazar says we're talking about not the actual edges, not the talons, not the claws, but rather the part that's right next to the foot of the bird. Meaning, where if you were to cut it, it's soft and it is somewhat edible. Karnayim, we say the horns also are mitami tamas ochlin. I'm rapapa b'makom shechochim v'yotzei mehem dam. We're not talking about the horns, the upper part of the horn where it's hard and there's no way you're going to eat it. We're talking about the softer part of the horn where if you were to cut it, you would see blood. That part of the horn which is closer to the head, softer part of the horn. Okay. Good. All right. We're going to go on in the Gemara. This next Amud of Gemara coming up is going to be interesting. It's so interesting. It's just going to be a little bit tough. Okay. Before we start the Gemara, I'd like to just talk in more generic terms, more general terms, and then we'll see a lot of this inside of the Gemara. Look, we're in the world of Tumah, we're discussing the ideas, some of the ideas behind Tumah, specifically Tumas Nevela versus Tumas Ochlin. Okay. Tumas Nevela, that's easy. It's so easy to describe and to put your finger on. Meaning, an animal dies without the benefit of a shechita, so now the meat of the animal, right, and it's objective, meaning, machshava, no machshava, you don't have to, it's not complicated. The meat of the animal is considered carcass, it's considered carrion, it's tummy. And it's not just tummy, it's tummy nevela, meaning it's a source of tumma. So now if somebody were to touch it or to carry it, so the person would become tummy. Okay, that's easy, it's so straightforward. Tumas nevela is really just, the animal's either alive or it's dead. Yes, we'll discuss over the next page of Gemara, the animal sometimes is somewhere in between, being alive and dead. Okay, and that'll come up, but the basic idea behind Tumas Nevela is that once the animal's dead and it did not receive a shechita, the meat of that animal is Tumas Nevela, okay, which generates its own tumma. It's an Ava tumma. Good.
So a dead non-kosher animal always generates tumma?
Yes, and a dead kosher animal that didn't receive shechita also is going to generate tumma. Correct. Here's where it's going to get tricky. In that, we also, at the same time, can have a discussion of what's called tumas ochlin. Now, tumas ochlin means that if something's a food, not drink right now, let's just talk about food. If something's a food, it can receive tumma. And once it receives tumma, it's obviously tame. It's not an av, it's not a source of tumma. It's a vlad, it's a derivative. And then, under certain circumstances, they can then export tumma to another food. It's not going to export tumma to a person. Person doesn't become tummy from food, but it can export tumma to another food. Now, what's considered ochlin? So this is the part that's going to be very fuzzy. Meaning because you would have thought, I would have thought, ochlin means if it's edible. That's a good definition, but it's insufficient. It's not enough. Because as we're going to see over the course of this discussion, it doesn't have to be kosher. Meaning, when we talk about tumas ochlin, we're looking just basically at the question of, is it edible? Not whether I can eat it, because if it didn't receive a proper shechita, obviously I can't eat it. The question on the table is just simply, is it edible? Look, we're going to be talking about tumas ochlin by non-kosher animals. I certainly can't eat it. Tumas ochlin just simply means, is it an ochel, is it a food? Is it something that somebody would eat and provide, I guess, some form of nourishment? I'm not even sure if nourishment is a guideline. Meaning just simply, do people eat it? Okay? And as we're going to see, it's going to get even a little bit fuzzier in terms of establishing what is ochel versus what is not ochel. Okay? It's tricky. I'm telling you right now, we're going to try our best to get through the Gemara, but that's a much trickier discussion to try to determine what is considered ochel. Okay. We go back to our Mishnah. Okay, we take one step backwards. And you remember the Mishnah had the funny case. We're going to review it, so you don't even have to remember. Okay. The Mishnah discussed the following. Kayotze bo. I'm just rereading the Mishnah. The Mishnah is all the way back on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Hashoche behema tameya lo ovei kochavim. I shech the non-kosher animal for a non-Jew. The Mishnah goes on to say umifar cheses, and right now convulsion. Okay, because shechita the animal does not die instantaneously. There's still going to be some quivering. Mitame tumas ochlin, at the point of convulsion, it's a food. The animal is a food. Tumas Ochlin. It's now susceptible to Tumas Ochlin. Aval lo Tumas Nevel Sachetamas. But it's not Nevel until it's dead. So in other words, right, remember this, it's a strange Mishnah. It takes us back to Shabbos. We have a scenario where when I shech the animal, now it's a non-kosher animal. Think about it. What in the world did my shechita accomplish? Okay? But it's a non-kosher animal. I shecht it. So at the point where I shecht it now, so it's a food. It's not dead yet, but it's a food. Okay, it really takes a lot of time to, and you'll excuse the pun, but it takes time to digest this concept. It's a very difficult concept to understand how we can look at that animal and we can say, in other words, you understand I'm talking out of the two sides of my mouth and hopefully I'm trying to synthesize. But we're saying it's not dead, but it's food. I mean, it's really, really hard to grasp as a concept. Let's take a look at Rashi over here. It's not an avela, and it's an ochel.
It's only a few moments. This is
it's right. It's in other words, it's those moments of convulsion, right? But okay.
Because by us halachically, shechita means that it becomes food as soon as we shecht.
Correct. But here it gets even more complicated because you're not shechting a kosher animal.
Right.
You're shechting a non-kosher animal.
To get this status and to be shechita or any act of form to kill the animal.
Oh, good question. Please wait. Okay, we're going to discuss that. He wants to know, what if I kill another method? Meaning not shechita.
Nechira.
Okay, so I'm telling him that the Gemara is going to deal with that. Okay, good. Correct, meaning absolutely correct. Meaning when it becomes a nevela, it will be a source of tuma, as opposed to an ochel, which right now it doesn't even mean it's tame. All it means as an ochel is, it's susceptible to tuma.
And you know, there's a nafkamina, because if you're shechting,
Right, which the answer is, right now, at the point of shechita, if you walk away from the animal, you won't be tummy. Because all the animal is right now is just, it's not an avela yet. Pirchus, at the point of convulsion, it's somewhere between being alive and dead, more alive than dead.
You're talking about the transition from non-tumma to tumma.
Right, from non-tumma's nevela to tumma's nevela, and again, the point of our Mishnah is that immediately after shechita, it's an ochel. It's a food. So, I'm asking all of us, myself as well, to try to wrap our head around this idea. It's a difficult concept.
And everyone agrees with this.
The Mishnah. The simple answer is yes.
Right.
Okay.
What does it help to? What is it helping?
It's not a question of helping. What we're doing is we're just simply making empirical observations about what its status is. The Mishnah is not looking to, aid us in all this. The Mishnah is just simply saying that at the point of Shechita, it has now status. What status? It's not alive, it's not dead. It's more alive than dead. It's an ochel, it's
why
a food.
Call it the bee.
But I understand, but that's what it is. In other words, you can't, it is an ochel. Now, why is an ochel? Am I struggling with this concept? Absolutely. Absolutely struggling with understanding how this is so. Okay, let's start the discussion by looking at Rashi, where Rashi makes an excellent review of this Mishnah. It's 8 to 10 lines down. By the way, if you look at Rashi Khartoum, Rashi says the word beak, right? Okay? I guess beak in old French is beak. Hashoche behem atamele ove kochavim. Everyone see the Rashi? Aprisha la. De kevin de kavase b'shchitas Yisrael b'tahara mashavi le'uchla ba'od de mefarcheses uli Yisrael shari le'b'shchita ta'yiluhu milsa hashtanami hovi Yisrael shachta shchita ma'alya. Now, first of all, we need a Jew to shecht it because by a Jew there's this concept called shchita. Goyim don't have a concept of shchita, right? In other words, for them, they just kill their animal. But there's no concept of shechita. We have this concept where once you shecht the animal is shechted, i.e. dead, even though there's convulsion going on. But we have this concept of shechita. Now, afal gav de b'tmei lo shaya shechita. Now, it's true, Rashi acknowledges, we're talking about shechting a non-kosher animal. Okay? You're right. There's no concept of shechting a non-kosher animal. And it's also true that when it comes to a non-Jew, he can't eat the animal until the animal's actually dead. Meaning before the animal's actually dead. What are we talking about? Avram and Achai. If he were to rip off a limb of that animal, the non-Jew, the Ben Noach, would be in violation of the prohibition of Avram and Achai. Rashi says, all that's true, but afilo hachi mehanya machshav yisrael, la'achil alo v'kocham l'shav yi'uchla ba'od mefar cheses. But when the Jew shechts this non-kosher animal for a non-Jew, because he's shechting, it has now a status. And the status is now, it's a food. It's an ochel, subject to the rules of tumas ochlin. It's now susceptible to tumah. The kosher came to horsha ochel had to gamarhu ba'odim efar cheses. And it goes without saying that if he shechted a kosher animal, obviously, it's now going to be considered an ochel, a food, the moment he shechts it. The hadar minan also la'echol mi behema kodem shetetz anafsha. Now, there is a gemara in Sanhedrin that says that we have to wait till the end of convulsion, meaning when we shecht a kosher animal. Why? So midrabbanan hu. So Rashi says that's a din derabbanan. Okay, Mar sign, if you will. I know Yosef and the brothers, right? It's a Mar sign issue. It doesn't look right that I'm eating an animal that's right now in the throes of death, where, as we see right here, in a non-kosher animal, the animal's not dead yet. But you know what, though? Even though it's true, legally speaking, halachically speaking, if we shecht a kosher animal, it's dead at the moment that you shechted it, but you know what? Just don't eat it, but that's midrabban, that's rabbinic. V'chein ove kochavim b'tahara tanyinam l'kaman d'hol v'tahara hi v'ashkechan heta b'tahara mifar chesed sheshechta yisrael hashanami kishechta v'kochami havya ochel l'tami tumas ochlin min hasheretz. I'm sorry, l'tami tumas ochlin. And Rashi says, and you know what? If we flip the case around, it would get the same result. Meaning, okay, again, just listen and try to absorb. It's so difficult. If I had a non-Jew shecht a kosher animal, okay, now, again, there's no such thing as shechita by a non-Jew. Okay, he doesn't have that concept. But if I had a non-Jew shecht a kosher animal, at least the animal is going to end up being dead, and it's not going to be shechted, and it's going to be an avela. But at least from the point of shechita until the animal is a nevela, it has status. What status? It's an ochel. It's considered an ochel vis-a-vis the world of Tumas Ochlin. And a non-Jew shechts a kosher animal.
Now, why would not that work if a non-Jew shechts a non-kosher animal?
I guess because he just struck out.
It's ochel.
Struck out all the way.
Meaning, right, because at least if a Jew shechs a non-kosher animal, so at least you have the concept of shechita by the Jew, right, to provide that status. If a non-Jew shechs a kosher animal, at least it's a kosher animal, so you have some status. But if you have a non-Jew shechting a non-kosher animal, you're right, you struck out. You got nothing. That's exactly my point. Meaning, no one's going to be eating it.
No, but it could be ochel for going.
Yeah.
It could be, right? But it's not, though, because a guy can't eat an animal until it's dead.
And they don't have any prohibition regarding ochel of the
avela.
No, they can eat an avela. Right.
I think Rabbi
Wolf
is saying, once it's committed, you don't have to eat it. Once it's committed,
right.
It's
right. Correct. Meaning, right, what we're doing right now is we're elevating, right, we're giving it some form of status. Food, in the world of Tumah, food doesn't mean I'm going to sit down and eat it. Right. In the world of Tumah, food means is that it has some status.
Prepared.
Right. Some level of preparation. Not necessarily to be able to eat something like that. Right. And then Rashi writes, Shim tachto v'tiga ba'ochlen acherim, kodim shetamos v'tasa nevela titamein. Meaning, during the convulsion, meaning, let's just talk about the primary case, where a Jew shechted a non-kosher animal. So during convulsion, if now I were to take this animal and have it make contact with the sheretz, the convulsing animal will now receive the tumah, because it's ochel, because it's food. And then if during convulsion, it then went and made contact with another food, let's say truma, for example, that food will also become tame. Right? You understand now? We're basically looking at this quivering animal as ochel, as food. If we go to the other two extremes, meaning, if we have a Jew shechting a kosher animal, that's called shechita. That's called, it's the moment you shecht it, it's an ochel. And if you have a non-Jew shechting a non-kosher animal, Rashi says, you struck out. Meaning then it's nothing. It's not, and during that period of convulsion, don't call it a food, because it's a non-Jew, he doesn't hold of shechita, he doesn't have shechita, it's a non-kosher animal, there's no concept of shechita by a non-kosher animal, so you got nothing over there. Good. Okay? So far, so good. That is our Mishnah, that's a review of our Mishnah. It is by far and away a concept, and it's, you know, to me it's a difficult concept, but that's basically the Mishnah. Let's go on. Amar Rav Asi Shonin. Rav Asi says Shonin. There are Tanaim who teach the following: Yisrael b'tameya, ve'ovi kochavim b'tahora, tzrichen machshava, ve'hechshamayim mimakom acher. Okay, the first part of the Braisa is spot on, exactly what we've been discussing: a Jew shechting a non-kosher animal, a non-Jew shechting a kosher animal. So it's, it now renders this animal, at least during pirchus, during convulsion, it gives us a status, which is an ochel. Now remember, big rule regarding food is that food does not import nor export tuma until heksher. It needs to be coming into contact with a liquid. So now the second part of the braisa deals with the following. Where's heksher coming from? So the braisa says it has to come from makom acher. Now, when I shecht an animal, okay, we've talked about this before as well, but let's talk about it again because it's coming up right now. When I shecht an animal, so what's coming out of the animal is blood, right? Now, you know that blood is one of the machshirin, one of the seven liquids that would render in any food, mukhshir lekabel tuma, prepared now to receive and to export tuma, is blood. So you could say that the blood coming out of the neck of the animal is what is providing heksher for the very animal itself. And this braisa,
it's not a kosher animal.
Well, right. And this braisa says,
And the goy can't have kavanah.
Right. This braisa is of the opinion that in this scenario, in order to affect tumah, in order for the animal to actually to receive and to give out tumah, it needs heksher from a third party, from another source. It cannot generate tumah by itself. Now remember also there's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that says that shechita by itself is a machshir. Okay, we're certainly not subscribing to that position. But even the blood that comes out, not even blood. It's not even blood in the world of heksher. Now the Gemara says, v'heksher mayim mimakom acher. Heksher, lama lisof alatami tumas chamura. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there's a rule. It's a very interesting rule. And the rule basically goes like this. Food needs the heksher. Why? We discussed this on many times. Because it needs to be prepared, meaning an apple. I'm not going to eat the apple until it's clean. I'm going to wash it. I know washing it with blood is a weird idea, but the idea is behind heksher is that it's a process. It's part of the process of preparation. Okay. If I know that this food in question is not just going to be food, but eventually will become tuma chamura, it's going to be an avela, doesn't really need any prep. Meaning, it's in just a moment, at the finality of death, when convulsion ends, so it's going to become an avela. The Gemara says, you know what the rule is? Is that when something's going to become an avela, so at the earlier stage when it's food, it doesn't need heksher. The Gemara says, look, observe the following. So heksher lama lisof alatami tuma chamura, so it needs tuma chamura. It will become tuma chamura v'chol shisha sof alatami tuma chamura, lo by heksher, it doesn't need heksher. Didni Rabbi Yishmael, the Gemara says, look at the braisa. V'chol v'chi yutan mayim al zera mazraim she'en tof l'tamit ha-machamura shichem echshe avkol she'en tof l'tamit ha-machamura tzarech echshe v'tanyam Rav Yosi mimnei ma'amru nevel sof tar tzricha ma'achshav v'en tzricha echshe. Right, you have a bird that didn't receive a shechita, and it doesn't eat hechsher. Why? Mimnei shesof l'tamit ha-machamura, because that bird that didn't receive a shechita is now a nevela. It doesn't need heksha. So, the Gemara over here is just bothered by a really simple question. This brisa, which is introduced to us with the word shonen, right? It was taught. This brisa that says that it needs heksha mimakam acher. Why? It's going to become a nevela. It doesn't need a heksha at all. Gemara gives an answer, somewhat of a strange answer. Amechiske holviyachol agora ulamid al pachus mikazais. Well, I'll tell you why. It doesn't have to become a nevela. What you could do, okay, it's a stretch, but what you could do is that you can cut the animal up during convulsion into pieces smaller than a kezias, and we know that there's no nevela on meat smaller than a kezias. It's a bit of a stretch, meaning essentially what the Gemara now is suggesting. Right. What the Gemara is suggesting is that during this period of convulsion, we're going to cut all the animal into all pieces, into mini pieces, less than a kezias. Okay, I understand. But again, the Gemara is just doing that in order to suggest why we even need the discussion of Hechsher. Okay. Amar le Rav Yirmiya le Rabbi Zero mi amar chizkiya hachi v'ha'id mar shachar v'ashnayim v'rav shnayim v'adayin yimah v'cheset. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we take a look at this machlokus between Chizkiya and Rav Yochanan. I shech both pipes, or the majority of both pipes, and it's still convulsion. Chizkiya amar eina le'evarim, Rav Yochanan amar yeshna le'evarim. And the question was, the eina le'evarim, Rashi, ein ben noach muzar ala mishum evarim enachai. Meaning the moment that you shecht it, it's dead. It's not evarim enachai. So the Vekosha came b'tahor, the lake immediately saw Shaula Vekochav Masav, Afilo Rabbi Yochanan, Modile b'tahorah. Look, by a kosher animal, there's not even a discussion. Meaning by a kosher animal, you shech that the animal's dead. Meaning, I know, there's still convulsion, but you shechted it, and there's shechita by a kosher animal. If I shech the non-kosher animal, and the Chizkiya says, Ein ala ivar, meaning there's no Evar Menachai. And Rav Yochanan says, no, yesh la ivarim, there's still Avram and Achai. Chizkiya amar ein la ivarim meisahi. Chizkiya says, it's dead. You shechted it, it's dead. And Rav Yochanan amar, yesh la ivarim, love meisahi. And Rav Yochanan says, it's not dead. So you see over here that at least according to Chizkiya, an animal's dead after you shecht it. Even a non-kosher animal is considered dead. So amar le yatsusa michal chaya, and the Gemara says that according to Chizkiya, you know what we're going to say? We're basically going to take some sort of middle ground. You shech the non-kosher animal. Is it alive? No. Is it dead? No. It's in limbo. Meaning legally, halachically, this animal is in limbo. Okay? So, is it a nevela? No. Because the nevela has to be dead. Is it Avram and Achai? No, because Avram and Achai needs it to be alive. Okay, so according to Chizkiya, where is it? Exactly. It's in the twilight zone. An animal during Pirchus, they're talking about shechting a non-kosher animal. During Pirchus, during this period of convulsion, it's not alive, it's not dead, it's somewhere in between.
This is for a non-Jew.
This is for a non-Jew. It has left the world of Avram and Achai because Avram and Achai needs it to be alive. Right. It is not entered into the world of Nevela because Nevela means it needs to be dead. So where is it right now? Right between. Between alive and dead. By kosher animal, the moment after shechita, the animal's dead. Even though there's convulsion going on, the animal's dead.
Since this is for the non-Jews, since this is the issue d'oraita, don't we have machmir about it?
Yeah, but Chizkiya is going to tell you, I have no suffix. Meaning, I know that once you shecht it, it's left the world of Chai.
He has a suffix. He doesn't know which category it belongs to.
What I'm suggesting, I'm not saying I'm right, but what I'm suggesting is that Chizkiya says it's not a suffix. It has entered a new phase of life. It's not alive. It's not dead. It's a middle phase. Okay. Gufa. Shacha b'shnayim or rav shnayim b'adayim b'fercheses chizki armein aleivarim. Rav Yochanan amar yesh aleivarim. Okay. Again, you shecht a non-kosher animal. So, have you removed the prohibition of Eivar Min HaChai, subject to a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Chizkiya? Rav Yochanan says, don't eat it yet, it's still alive. And Chizkiya says, no, it's almost dead. It's not alive. It's not dead, it's not alive, it's somewhere in the middle. Amar Rav Elazar, nekol lahad Rav Yochanan biyadecha. So, Rav Elazar says, look, on this debate between Chizkiya and Rav Yochanan, side with Rav Yochanan. Hold Rav Yochanan in your hands. Meaning that when you shecht a non-kosher animal and it's in convulsion, it's alive. Right? Rav Yochanan's right. And why am I telling you that Rav Yochanan is correct over here? Didn't he, Rav Oshia? I shouldn't say it that way. In other words, I'm just thinking about the words that are coming out of my mouth. It's not that Chizkiya is wrong, but in terms of which position we should take the Rav Yochanan position. Didn't he Rav Oshia Kavaseh? Didn't he Rav Oshia? Because look, we have a brisa by Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia is Masada, the Tosefta. The Gemara is now going to quote a Tosefta. The Gemara is going to quote the entire Tosefta. Even though, as far as we're concerned, the punchline is right in the beginning. Yisrael Shashacha Behema Tamei Alo V'Kochavim. Okay? Let's start. The first case in the brisa in this Tosefta is Jew shechting not kosher animal for a non-Jew. Shacha b'shnayim rav shnayim u'mifarcheses. He's got both pipes, meaning check on the shechita. Now, of course, we're shechting a non-kosher animal. It's a helfnisht, meaning we're not going to eat it. But he got both pipes, so that means he did a proper shechita. And if there's convulsion going on, mitami tumas ochlin, it's a food, right? That goes back to the first side of today's daf. Metame Tumas Ochlin, avalo Tumas Nevelas. But it's not dead yet. Eiver ha-parish mimenu ka-parish menachai. What if during convulsion I rip off a limb? That's Eiver menachai, says the Tosefta. That's Rav Yochanan. That's the opinion of Rav Yochanan. U-basar ha-parish mimenu ka-basar ha-parish menachai. If I rip off a piece of meat, that's basar menachai. Va'asar levnei noch ve'iv va'afilo achar she-tetsa nafsha. And look, Ben Noach can't eat it. Right. Because once I ripped it off while the animal was alive, even after the animal is dead, the limb is still Eiver Min HaChai. The meat is still Basar Min HaChai. Okay. Shachar ba'echad o rov echad. What if a Jew did an improper shechita, i.e., he only shechted one pipe of the animal? So that's not shechita. Not yet, because we're talking about non-kosher animal. We have to wait till the end of convulsion. Einu matamin tumas ochlin. So now, the only thing that we've added with this case is, it's not an ochel during convulsion. Meaning, in the first case of the Tosefta, if you shech both pipes, you've given the animal status. The animal now is subject to tumas ochlin, like we discussed in the beginning of today's daf. But if I only shecht one pipe, it's not. I didn't give it any status whatsoever. I didn't do shechita. It's not tumas ochlin. Nachra ein ba tumas shel klum. If I instead of doing a shecht one pipe, I puncture it through its nostrils, meaning I basically go through the nostrils up to the brain. I just kill the animal. So ein ba tumas shel klum. At that point in time, it's got no tuma until it finishes convulsing, and then once it finishes convulsing. So then, it's obviously dead. Now let's do the inverse. Now we already discussed this in Rashi in the previous Amud, but now here the Tosefta discusses it straight out. Let's go the other way. Let's have a non-Jew shechting a kosher animal, right? Again, it's not going to result in a shechita because he's not a bar hachi, right? He's not a shechter, but he will be able to provide the animal status. So during the period of convulsion, it's a food. If I rip off a limb of this animal, the animal's not dead yet. It's not dead yet until it finishes convulsing. So therefore, any limb I rip off, that's Eiver Min HaChai. And it will be prohibited to a ben Noach even after the animal is dead because it's Eivor Menachai. If a non-Jew only cut one pipe, that's nothing. And if he just simply went right into the nostril, you kill the animal, that's nothing. Next part of the Tosefta. Now, at this point in time, you understand we made our point already. Meaning, Nekot Rav Yochanan Biadecha. Right? Rav Yochanan is the position that we should adopt. Okay, good. And we made the point already, but we're here, the Tosefta. We're just going to finish up the Tosefta. Shachar Ovikocham Makum Sheinosa Oso Trefa. Let's say a goy would start the Shechita process. Okay? And the animal's not yet a trefa, meaning that he only cut 49% of the windpipe. Okay? Uva Yisrael v'gamra, k'shera. Let's say no. Let's say, all right, Ben's asking, in other words, there's a pause. Remember, we talked about how if you pause in the act of Shechita, so that's no good. Okay, so let's say no. V'gamra, k'shera. My answer is just brilliant answer. The gamrak shera shachi yisrael ben amakam ben bamakam shoso so trefa ben bamakam sheno so trefa uvav vekocham the gamrak shchita psula. Now, if a Jew starts the shechting process but only completed terminated by the non-Jew, so then the animal's obviously not shechted. Harotze sheyochem mebehem akodem shetetze nafsha. Now, what if you want to eat a live animal? Right, end of the Tosefta. You want to eat a live animal. Now, you know, the Tosefta doesn't literally mean eat from a live animal, but it's pretty close to literal. So here's what you do. Shech the animal, and during convulsion, cut off a piece right from the neck, right? In other words, because it's open anyway, right? And it's as fresh as you can possibly imagine. And salt it well, and rinse it well, because obviously you want to get rid. And then, because you're not going to cook it, you're just going to eat it really raw and fresh. Now, but still, wait until the conclusion of convulsion. Meaning, don't, even though min haTorah, you can eat it right now because you shechted it. But wait anyway. Again, mid derabbanan, that's a rabbinic requirement, as we talked about earlier today. Echad ovekocham ve'echad yisrael mutarim bo. Okay, and this would be true for Jew and non-Jew, meaning, once a Jew shechs a kosher animal, that's it. The animal's dead. Legally, the animal's dead. Yes, midrabban, you have to wait till the end of convulsion before you can actually eat it, but it's as fresh as meat as you can possibly imagine. Misayele le ravidi baravindam ravidi baravindam ravitzak barashin harotze shiavri. In fact, Rav Edi says, not only can you do this, I recommend it. It's medicinal. It's therapeutic. A person wants to be healthy. Everyone can eat from it, Jew and non-Jew alike. Right? Jew because it was shechted, non-Jew because no such thing. No such thing as something that would be permitted to us and prohibited to a non-Jew. Conceptually doesn't exist. By Rav Elazar. Okay, Gemara is going to ask a couple of very, very detailed, fine-tuned questions. We have now been discussing over the past daf of Gemara that if I shecht a non-kosher animal, or if a non-Jew were to shecht a kosher animal, at least during the convulsion, before the animal's an avela, it has status. It's an ochel. Why? Because it was shechted. Okay? That's the concept of the day. Difficult concept, the concept of the day. What if I didn't do an exactly 100% kosher shechita? Meaning, shahaba, darasba, mahu. What if during the shechita, I did something which would normally render a shechita disqualified? I paused. Instead of going back and forth, I pressed in. Is it now at this point in time considered like I didn't do shechita at all? Or no? I still did a shechita, but like a bad shechita, so to say. Amarle, I was sabah hachem. Rav Yochanan stricha hechsher shechita kebehema tahora. I'm sorry, kebehema tahora. The shechita's got to be 100%. Hechshel lamai. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak b'tikas sakin. So the Gemara says, right, even to the point of doing an examination on the knife. Okay. By mine Rabbi Zera me Rav Sheshes. Ma'ase tasel al habluin shebesocha. Okay, remember we talked about this earlier in the Masechta, Tuma Blua or Tahora Blua, meaning when you swallow something, when you ingest something, you protect. Okay? So that means that if you swallow a kli, a utensil, and you go into a house of Tuma, right? There's a mace in the house, and now there's Tuma throughout the house, and you're Tame. But that which inside of you is still okay. Follow me. If, let's say, after you become Tahor, you then discharge the item that was inside of you, okay? That item was going to be tahor because you protected it. Gemara says, I wonder. This animal that you shechted, which of course ultimately is going to be an avela, but at least during this period of time of convulsion, where it's now rendered tumas ochlin, is it at this point in time still able to protect that which is inside of it? So he says, well, I understand. It's susceptible to food tuma, which means now it's no longer a blocker. It can't block the tuma. On the other hand, it's not dead yet. It's not a nevela yet. It's still alive. Again, what the Gemara is grappling with is, during this period of convulsion, where are we with this animal? Is it alive or is it dead? Okay, and Abaye comes up with a very definitive definitive response over here, which is, it's food. It's not going to be matzil because it's right now convulsion. It is susceptible to tumas ochlin, so the tumas is going to go right inside, penetrate right inside to any kli that's inside the animal. The harova chayav. Now, even though on one hand we're calling it a food, we're not going to ignore the fact that it's still alive. During convulsion, it's still alive. The Gemara states this in a very awkward way, but you do get the point, which is that if you commit bestiality with this animal that's convulsing, you violate the isser of revia, of rovea behema. So, dahan de'ena matam tumas nevela, because it's not dead yet. So, again, it's very fuzzy. This animal, we are at the same, in one sentence, calling it food and calling it alive. Okay. If it's a kosher animal, so then at that point it's dead. Okay, let me just do a little bit more. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Halal, Amar Rav Huna, Vehu Shehu Kansar. So the halacha of Rav Yehuda is that the meat that's on the that's left on the hide, it's still going to, if you have the kazayas of it aggregated one place, so then it's going to be considered food and you're going to be chayev. Rav Huna, we already discussed Rav Huna, it needs to be aggregated in one location. The Amar Rav Huna. I'll tell you what, I'm rethinking my decision as I'm going to have to introduce you to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Okay, you know what, I'll stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, much ado. Oh, tomorrow's such an interesting daf. Come tomorrow to hear about skin grafting. Yeah, human skin grafting. Okay, I mean, come tomorrow anyway, but I'm saying... But tomorrow's discussion is unbelievable.